Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Josh from Snohomish is. Josh, are you there?
I am.
Happy Seattle Rock Day, Josh. And Steve, it's time for you to get out of here.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, oh, Josh, I almost forgot to ask. Did you listen to the cheat sheet yesterday at 5:40?
I did not.
Oh.
Good.
Well, for those playing at home, Josh, without his cheat sheet, will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You may pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Which city in Washington is known as the Emerald City?
Seattle.
Correct. In the TV show The Simpsons, what color is the family's stove?
Purple.
No.
Blue.
No.
Green.
Yes. 10 Things I Hate About You is a modern interpretation of what Shakespearean play?
Romeo and Juliet.
No.
Hamlet.
No.
Pass.
Prior to 1973, what Central American country was known as British Honduras?
Ooh, pass.
In what year did the Experience Music Project rebrand to Museum of Pop Culture?
08.
No.
2012.
No.
2010.
No. What Hollywood legend's career was catapulted after The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Cut out. Say that again.
What Hollywood legend's career was catapulted after The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Gerard Butler.
No.
Pass.
What type of cheese would you find on a Seattle dog?
Kind of cheese. Cream cheese.
Yes. All right. With that, Josh, you got 3 correct.
Not bad.
Might I recommend the cheat sheet?
That would have came in handy, I'm sure.
There are some tough ones in here, though, and Steve's not very smart, so we'll see how this goes.
How can
you
say
you're here. I'm so sorry.
Something so wrong? Sound like everybody in my life.
Steve, are you in that big brain of yours ready?
I believe so. Let's find out. Are we sure? Let's check with this one person.
Yeah, Daddy, let's go.
Yes, I am. Let's go.
Which city in Washington is known as the Emerald City?
Seattle.
Correct. In the TV show The Simpsons, what color is the family's stove?
The stove is green.
Yes. 10 Things I Hate About You was a modern interpretation of what Shakespearean play?
Hamlet?
No.
Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Othello?
No. Prior to 1973, what Central American country was known as British Honduras?
That would be a weird version of the movie if it was Othello. I don't know, pass.
In what year did the Experience Music Project rebrand to the Museum of Pop Culture?
Oh, crap. 2017?
No.
2016?
Yes. What Hollywood legend's career was catapulted after The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Clint Eastwood.
Correct. What type of cheese would you find on a Seattle dog?
Fromunda.
No. Wow.
cream cheese.
Yes. Who was the first left-handed president to serve two terms?
I'm going to go with Abraham Lincoln.
No.
George Washington.
No.
Adams.
No. In what month did the Mariners play their first game at Safeco Field?
What month?
Yes.
April.
No.
March.
No.
May.
No. Steve?
Yeah.
You got five correct. Hey. That's a win.
That's right.
5-3. Sorry, Josh.
Oh, good game.
You too, my friend. Those are tough.
They were.
For even an intelligent man like myself.
If you had been listening to the cheat sheet, you would know that 10 Things I Hate About You was a modern interpretation of The Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, dude, I would have never guessed. You could just say name 10. I couldn't even name 10 Shakespeare books.
The first left-handed
plays,
president to serve two terms was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
And the month that the Mariners played their first game at Safeco Field was actually July.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but congratulations on your victory. Today, we are celebrating Seattle Rock Day. It is a wonderful annual tradition that we have here. And for the sixth year, we are teamed up with the folks at SMASH. That is Seattle Musicians Access to Sustainable Healthcare. And right now, we've got donations coming in at KISW.com, Steve.
Oh, yes. Lots of great donations that are coming in. And it's from, SMASH is for musicians that are struggling to afford healthcare. So if you can afford a couple bucks just to help out. I know we've talked to some musicians in the past that have just said that SMASH has helped them when it came to like mental health issues or dental issues. Whatever it may be, donate at KSW.com.
One person who is a huge contributor and part of SMASH is Aaron Jones. And we're going to chat with Aaron after Soundgarden.
The Daily Mix Show. The Daily Mix Show.
Today is such a special day as we are celebrating Seattle Rock Day. It is an annual celebration of all things Seattle because so much amazing music has come out of this area. And one person who is currently carrying the torch for us is Aaron Jones. And Aaron is with us this morning. Aaron, how you doing, my friend?
You know, out here living the American dream or something like it while we still got a country, you know?
Yes!
So where's the American dream taking you right now? Like, where are you at and what's going on, man?
I'm literally calling you guys from the studio right now as I'm working on my third record here, my third major record, my fifth record overall, and I'm out here just getting that work in, man. We're getting closer and closer to having something ready, so.
So I know you probably can't give us too many spoilers here, but what can you tell us about the new music that you're working on?
I learned a lot of lessons after being signed. So what I can tell you is there is a certain amount of pressure that comes from being signed to a label. And now that I'm kind of free of my record contract, I can kind of go back to the basics with everything that I've learned as a songwriter and as an artist and a performer and kind of reintegrate some of those things that got me to where I am today, but still at this high level that I'm at now, man. So it's going to be, I think, a lot more me on this next record, a lot more unique, a lot more Aaron-centered, you know?
We're talking with Aaron Jones, and don't forget, today is Seattle Rock Day. Donate for SMASH, or just go to KISW.com to make those donations.
Aaron, I know that we've got the SMASH benefit show coming up in just about 3 weeks, and this year the organization is honoring the music of Fleetwood Mac. Can you give us a little peek behind the curtain of the things that are being planned for that event at the Crocodile on April 24th?
Oh yeah, man. You know, as where I'm sitting right now, it's going to be an amazing eclectic crew of people coming together. A lot of my friends, a lot of people I've known throughout my time in the music industry in Seattle coming together, and you know, we're going to be, man, just putting all out there for our community and doing something special as it benefits the artists out here that are really trying to make it happen. So, you know, Seattle's a really unique place in that you can find a place to play almost every day of the week. But unfortunately, when you're out there putting yourself out there musically and playing every day and things like that, that doesn't always come with the benefit of being able to afford things like healthcare.
Yeah.
And so SMASH is one of those organizations that does a really great job making sure that artists have a place to go to know that they have that care if they need it, you know?
And we're just hoping everyone can open up their wallets a little bit. If it's $5, $10, $50, whatever it can be, just donate at KSW.com and help us reach our goal of $10,000. But also, SMASH has got a great auction that's going on. You can check that out at KSW.com as well, with like a limited edition picture disc from Alice in Chains, some signed stuff from Disturbed, Cheap Trick, not just Seattle bands, but all types of Metallica's involved with this as well. The Mariners have chipped in as well. So there's a lot of cool stuff to bid on that if you're a rock music fan that you should check out.
Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Aaron Jones. And out of curiosity, I know you have shared the stage with, you know, bands like the Rolling Stones over the years, but maybe could you tell us a little bit of a story of, you know, like a rock star interaction that just kind of just knocked your socks off, completely blew you away, where you were having that out-of-body moment going, wow, I can't believe this is my life now?
Dude, I have a couple, and they do have to do with the Rolling Stones. I mean, there's quite a few, honestly. I think one of them was opening for Deep Purple. We played it was like a Roman amphitheater in South France, and that was one of the wildest experiences I've ever had in my life, standing in an old-school Roman Coliseum and opening for Deep Purple, a band I love. That was amazing. But I think the two moments when it was just like a pinch me moment was we opened for the Stones twice, once in Detroit, and 6 months later we opened for them in Paris. And the first time opening for them in Detroit was the time I got to meet Mick. And as we were going up for sound check, he was coming down, and he had his mask on and everything, and he kind of saw me at the corner of his eye. He walked past us, and he walks over, and I don't know if people know how, like, Mick maybe not be like a shy person, but he's kind of, you know, he's kind of soft spoken. He comes over and he goes, "Hello." I look at him. I go, "This is crazy." I'm like, "Hey, Mick, man, thanks for having us. We love your music, man." And he goes, "What song are you guys playing today?" And I'm like, "Oh, a couple of these songs. I love those tunes of yours." And I was like, "My God, Mick Jagger knows my music, you know." And so getting to meet Mick Jagger backstage at that show was wild. And then, you know, when we opened for them in Paris, it was in front of 70,000 people or so. Outside, man, and it was packed. By the time we stood on the stage, it was a sea of people all the way back, and that was one of those moments for me when I felt like, you know, I knew that we were actually making a big difference and an impact around the world with what we were doing.
Aaron, your handle is at Aaron Jones Music. Not only are you going to be at the Smash Benefit coming up in 3 weeks, but you've got to show it to Lalip on April 27th and also opening up for Seether at Showbox Soto on May 21st. So big things happening in your world, Aaron.
Yeah, you know, I keep it rocking and rolling. That's all I know how to do.
Well, thank you for joining us for Seattle Rock Day. We are just so proud of your career and just love supporting the art that you're putting out there. And we just love you so much, man.
You know, I love you people, man. I'm, you know, you've been here for me since before day one. Let's put it that way, man. So anything I can do to be a part of your journey and a part of your life, I'm always going to do it. I'm always going to be there for you guys.
Awesome, my man. It's always great hearing from you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Talk soon.
Seattle Rock Day is just the most fun ever, Steve.
I always love hearing some of the stories and just the music, of course. We're lucky to have such a great music scene here.
And there are so many musicians that could really use our help, and thanks to the fine folks at Smash, we're able to do that. So you can make a donation to support Seattle musicians' access to sustainable healthcare over at KISW.com. Our goal is
$10,000. $10,000, and we're working our way closer and closer to it. We're over $2,000 raised thanks to the great donations from the Rockaholics. And please, if you can help out some of the struggling musicians that are here in the Pacific Northwest, that'd be fantastic.
They will super appreciate it. Now, earlier this morning, we were chatting with Dave Cruzan, the original drummer of Pearl Jam, and he shared this awesome story about being a part of the Seattle music scene that had absolutely nothing to do with the band, but another iconic Seattle band instead. You're going to hear what he had to say at 8:20.
The Daily Migs Show.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier this morning, it was quite a treat to have Pearl Jam's original drummer join us for Seattle Rock Day, Dave Cruzan. And if you missed it, here's some of the interview.
When you think about the Seattle music scene, what's like the first thing that you think of besides playing in Pearl Jam, but just like being a part of like this? It felt like a very collaborative scene of musicians.
Yeah, it definitely did. I remember going to see bands play at the Central and the Vogue, you know, and I saw Nirvana at the Vogue. They came out and played, this is before Dave was in the band, they came out and played two songs, I think, and Kurt broke a string. And then he was trying to restring his guitar. I think he just gave up on it. But I was standing right there. That was pretty crazy. And then that was it.
Dude, just listening to the stories also just triggers so much nostalgia, just hearing the Vogue. I don't know, Danny, the Vogue didn't exist when you moved out here. I think that was way before your time.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, but like it was a spot. I didn't see a lot of shows there, but it was a spot. It wasn't a big venue.
No.
So it's crazy to think that Nirvana at one point was playing there.
Only slightly jealous over here. And also this morning we ended up getting a great voice message through the Odyssey app about Nirvana as well.
I had a fun story to share with you guys about the time that I used to work at Dick's. Now, we're talking about many, many years ago, and I was working there, and one time this taller gentleman pulled up to the window, and everybody were freaking the f*** out. So I'm taking his order, and my buddy comes up to me and goes, "Don't you know who that is?" I look at my no idea. Now it's getting a little bit awkward because the guy's looking at me. He just ordered his Dick's Deluxe and his shake. My buddy then says, "You don't know who the f*** that is? He's the bassist of Nirvana."
Okay, I'm picturing Chris Novoselic because he's such a lovable, likable, jovial guy. I could picture him just like smiling throughout the entire time while this is happening.
Totally.
But in his head, he's like, "Just give me my damn shake already."
I listen to only hip hop. I was a Cube 93 fan.
Oh, what's wrong with this? Only weirdos listen to Cube 93, right, Taryn?
I mean, that was definitely one of my stations back in the day.
Shout out to Eric Powers.
Yes.
I had no idea who Nirvana was. He had a big smile on his face. He said, "That's okay. Not a big deal." He walks off. So the next day, my buddy comes in with his Nevermind CD, loans it to me. I listen to it beginning to end over and over and over and over and over and become the biggest fan of Nirvana. So the one time I met the bassist of my favorite band, it was before they were my favorite band, and it was when I was working at Dick's. Happy Seattle Rock Day.
Dick's just brings people together.
No fries, though.
No fries.
I'm a little weirded out. I've always loved Chris Novoselic, but I'm a Dick's Deluxe person as well, but no fries.
Okay, what was your full order at Dick's then?
Deluxe, two fry.
Two fry.
Strawberry shake.
Oh, that's a good call.
What about you?
Yeah, I like to do two cheese, a fry, and a small Diet Coke.
Nice. I feel like we could probably ask every single Seattle musician that has played especially back in like, you know, the 90s, early 2000s, all the bands that we know and love, or early 90s as well, and just be like, what's your Dick's order? And they all probably have one just like right off the bat.
I want to go get that for lunch today. So we just heard two very different stories from the Seattle music scene, both about Nirvana, but both different, random in their own ways. And we know that you have stories like this too, Rockaholics. We'd love to hear them. So give us a call. 206-803-ROCK. What is one of your core memories of the Seattle music scene this fine Seattle Rock Day? Call now, 206-803-ROCK. We will take your calls after the head and the heart.
The Daily Mix Show.
Today is Seattle Rock Day, and we are raising money for Seattle musicians' access to sustainable health care, looking to hit that $10,000 mark by the end of the day today, Steve Miggs.
We're over $2,000, and we're just trying to help out some of these struggling musicians that are out there. Of course, Seattle, just full of great musicians, but some of them don't have health insurance, and they're struggling to afford health care, so Smash is an organization that helps them with that, so any amount will help, from $5 to $500, whatever you can give, just go to KSW.com.
And now we want to know, what is your favorite memory of the Seattle music scene? Call in now, 206-803-ROCK. We have someone on hold who met a member of Nirvana back in the day, Steve. We're going to talk with him in just a minute. But
did he have a bag of dicks?
John is on 405. John, what is your memory of the Seattle music scene?
Back during the late 80s, I was living and working in the U District and living in a boarding house and just happened to have Junior Cadillac's lead singer as my landlord, and they used to decide to always want to practice while I was trying to sleep because I work graveyard, and they practice in the morning.
They practice in the morning? What band does that?
Yep, they got up about 10 a.m., and, you know, they get down there and hit it, so.
That's so not punk rock.
I also have a good friend of mine, Rob Middleton, who played Paisley Sin.
Dude, I'm looking at Junior Cadillac. It says this is on their website. Summer of 2023 is a celebration of our 53rd year of rocking in the Northwest.
What?
Imagine being in a band for over 50 years. I wonder how many are the original members, though.
Well, that's a good question.
Because eventually you get sick of somebody's ass.
Somebody's going to get shuffled out.
Right.
I also still wonder if he owns that building.
If he was the landlord.
That's a good point. And what are you doing, guys? 10 a.m.? Yeah.
But maybe they stayed up all night.
Oh, sure.
That's the rock star life right
there. If you said they started practicing at 6 a.m., I'd believe you. But there's no way they were up all night and then started practicing at 10 a.m.
206-803-ROCK. Rob from Tacoma, what is your memory of the Seattle music scene?
Back in the 90s, I was sitting in a burger joint in Tacoma. And who goes walking by but Chris Novoselic? And I must be going out at 7-Eleven or something. And I knew who he was. And I knew Nirvana.
Right.
But then I see him coming back. And I got done eating my burger, so I stepped outside. And I played in the local rock band at that time. And I introduced myself. And I said, "Hey, I'd love to invite you out to my show this Saturday." And like everybody else is saying, he's a real humble guy, you know. And he has a smile on his face. He goes, "Oh, man, thanks. That's totally cool. But, sorry, I'm going to be out of town." I go, "Oh, right on. What are you up to this weekend?" He
That's a flex right there. Sorry, can't make your band show. Going to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, oh, lucky you, you know. And that was right at that point when Nirvana was just taking off and becoming the mega band that they were.
I wonder if that was the performance where, like, all chaos happened because they wanted them to play, I think, Smells Like Teen Spirit or one of those songs.
Yeah.
And then Kurt, in typical Kurt fashion, was just like, oh, yeah, we'll do that. And then they busted into something else.
Don't try to tell me what to do.
Yeah, we're rebels.
206-803.
And we're not going to your band show.
206-803-ROCK. Pogi from Tacoma, what is your favorite memory from the Seattle music scene?
The time that I kind of got told off by Lane Staley's mom at, well, yeah, I was in line for acoustic Queensryche and Jerry Cantrell show at El Corazon.
Okay.
And the line wasn't moving. It was really long. And I had went to one of the first Lane Staley benefit shows. And they were I literally spent the last of what money I had on my ticket to get in. And they were giving out these flyers. Had a really cool picture of Lane on them. So I took one of the flyers and I had it put on a t-shirt, and I just so happened to be wearing that t-shirt, and we're standing in line drinking tall boys, and I was high on mushrooms, and I noticed this lady about 12 people in front of us. I looked at my buddy, I was like, dude, that's Lane's mom, Nancy. He's like, nah, dude. So I told my other buddy, he's like, nah. And then my buddy Tyler, the original guy that I told, he's like, dude, it is. You're right. But I happened to be wearing my shirt that I had made. And she noticed it, came over, started asking me about it. She's like, where'd you get that shirt? And I was like, I'm not going to lie, I had it made. And she's kind of, you could have bought one at the show. And I was like,
You're like, Mrs. Staley, like, please, I'm high on mushrooms right now. Can you tone it down?
She stormed off. She, like, stormed off. And my buddy put his head on my shoulder. He's like, dude, you just got told off by Lane's mom. I'm like, I know, dude.
You're a legend, Pogi.
I did see a text at 206-803-ROCK, and they said, I served a short time in the Army with Jason Everman.
Oh!
Do you know the Jason Everman story?
No.
The Jason Everman story is like one of the craziest stories in Seattle rock lore, if you ask me. So Jason's the guy who was kind of sort of in Nirvana. The story is that he played guitar, or did he? He helped pay for their first record, Bleach. It was like $600 or whatever it may be. Then he eventually gets kicked out, or it's never really in the band. Who knows? Then he joins Soundgarden to play bass, ends up not being in them for a very long time, and then Soundgarden blows up. So then he says, you know what, I'm done doing rock music. He quits music and joins the military and ends up being a part of the U.S. Army Special Forces. He becomes a Green Beret. He has tours in Afghanistan, Iraq. He then studies philosophy over at Columbia University, like turned his whole life into a whole different direction. There's been a couple of really good articles about it, but his story is just bonkers.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, and I think he's playing music again just like as like a fun thing, but crazy to think that at one point he was kind of like this the lost member of Nirvana, and then he becomes a Green Beret.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Rockaholics, if you would like a shot this morning at beating Steve on Seattle Rock Day, we would love for you to call up and make it so. His record sits at 106 wins, 45 losses, and 24 ties in 2025. 206-803-ROCK. Call up so we can play Beat Migs at 850.
The Daily Migs Show. The Daily Migs Show.